to law. I'm sure that we've all run into someone at some time or another that has told us, oh, that old law in the Old Testament, it's done away. Don't worry about that. Jesus Christ came and he did away with all of that. Those old, hateful, strict laws of God the Father, you don't need to worry about them. Jesus Christ came, he made a new covenant, he paid the price. All you have to do is just believe. Just believe, and that's it. I'm sure we've heard that kind of reasoning. And there are millions and millions of people who believe that way. Some of them don't know any different. Some do, but they don't want to talk about it because it's not politically correct in this day and age. I want to start with the when the first covenant was instituted. I want to read a few verses in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17, I'll read verse 1 through 7. It tells us that that first covenant was made in the beginning with Abraham. It says in verse 1, and when Abram, that was before his name was changed, Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be you perfect. So there was a condition in verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. This was the promise of the first covenant. That was one of the promises. Verse 3, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. So his name was changed right there when God made the covenant with him. For a father of many nations have I made you. Speaking in past tense, you know, as if though it had already happened. And you will find that in the Bible in many different situations where God, when he says he's going to do something, he speaks of it then in the past tense, as if though it's already happened. Because if he says it's going to happen, it's a sure thing. It's as if it's, you know, for all of practical purposes, it's happened. He said it's going to happen, and it will. Verse 6, and I will make you exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you and in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. So in the beginning of this first covenant, there is no mention of the Ten Commandments. In fact, there is no mention of the law, period. It was a covenant that Abraham was to obey God. We must remember that Abraham talked directly to God, and vice versa, of course. God talked directly with Abraham. I don't think he does that with you and I. Certainly he hasn't spoken directly to me to date. I hope he will someday, if not before, in God's kingdom. Anyway, Abraham was to obey. And even though it doesn't mention the law or the commandments, we know that Abraham was tried severely. We all know the story about Abraham told to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, and Abraham was willing to do it. He was ready to kill Isaac, even though he knew that that's what God said that he should do. So he was willing to give up his son at that time. So Abraham was severely tried. But later on, additional promises were given for keeping the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Now, before I get into that too deeply, I want to bring out an example of statutes and judgments, because they are also the law. Statutes are the law. They are not the Ten Commandments, but it's a different law. In Exodus 21, read a couple of verses. Exodus 21, read verses 18 or 19. Now, here is a statute. If men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, but he doesn't die, but keeps his bed, in other words, he's injured severely because someone hit him with their fist or with a stone. Now, that was against the law. That was a statute. That was something that under the old covenant, people were commanded, you can't do that. That is the law or the statute, which is the law. The statute says you can't do that. But if you do, now that is the judgment. If you do, here's what happened. Verse 19. If he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Today we would say quitted, you know, when we go to trial. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. So the statute says you don't injure people so severely that they can't work and they have to go to bed. And if they lose time at work, you will have to make up that time. You will have to pay them for the time lost. That is the law under the covenant. The statute says if you break that law, then you pay the penalty. So the judgment is the penalty. This is the law under the old covenant. We need also to remember that at that time, under the old covenant, church authority was the same as civil authority. You know, when Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he was the governor, if you will, or president, or whatever you want to call him, but he ran the civil law as well as the church. That was under the old covenant. And under the old covenant, the commandments were in effect. You know, the main thing in the old covenant was to keep the commandments. But in addition to that, there were other laws which were called statutes. But Moses was in charge of all of it, whether it be the church or whether it be the civil law. Of course, you know, we don't have that today. Now, with that background, I'm going to turn to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. I'll read verses 3 right on down through verse 11. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, notice that he mentions those two things separately. The commandments are one thing. There are one law. The statutes are a different law. The statutes, in effect, were equivalent to our civil law today. Like, you know, getting back to the penalty, if we have a speed limit out here on the highway that's 55, that tells us how fast we can go legally. If we decide that we want to drive 75, at least in some jurisdictions, there is a set penalty for driving. 10 miles over the speed limit. You know, it may be a $100 fine in some small towns, or it may be a $150 fine, but there's a set penalty. So there is an equivalent today in the civil law of the old statutes and the judgments under the old covenant. But anyway, there's that if. We're starting out in verse 3 with, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. The land shall yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time. In other words, there will be an abundance of produce. And you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. That, you know, that's another promise under the old covenant. They were promised material things and safety. And I will give peace in the land. That's part of being safe. You shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. You'll have peace of mind. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through the land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword, for I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat the old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. In other words, when the new crop comes in, there will be so much left over that you'll have to get rid of it to make room for the new crop. There won't be the kind of famine that we just heard about in the previous message. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. Nothing in that passage promising the people that they will be in God's kingdom, that they will have God's Spirit. It's all physical. The promise, the old covenant, it's all physical. You drop down to verse 46 there in Leviticus 26. It says, these are my statutes and judgments and laws. Notice three different things. Statutes, judgments, and laws. Of course, the law here is a summation of the statutes and judgments. You know, that is the law in the old covenant, which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. I want to go to Galatians now and read a couple of verses. Galatians 3 and verse 17 through 19. Galatians 3, verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. Now, he mentions the covenant. The covenant. And then it mentions the law going after that first comma here at the end of before God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after. That was 430 years after the covenant was made with Abraham. That is when the law came in. That is when the statutes and judgments were given. That's when they were coming out of Egypt, which is 430 years after, and they cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The promises of God made were still in effect, even though that law was added 430 years later. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So the promise and the law here, this law, this added law, there are two different things. Wherefore then serve the law? It's talking about the statutes and the judgments because they do not make you righteous. They cannot save you. They cannot qualify you to enter into God's kingdom. Why serve that law then? It was added because of transgression. Transgression of what? We know from 1 John 3:4 that sin is the transgression of the law. So there was a law in effect before these statutes and judgments were added. And they transgressed that law, and that's why the statutes and judgments were added. That's why that second law was added. But going on in verse 19 of Galatians 3 here, till the seed, it was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So this law that was added later was added for a specific time. It was not forever. It was the law that was added to be in effect until Christ came. So, you know, we're setting the stage here about the different kinds of law. We had the spiritual law, the commandments, and you had the civil law. But we're not in charge of the civil law today. So those statutes and judgments do not apply. We don't stone people to death when they sin like they did under the statutes and judgments. Certain crimes that they committed, certain statutes that they broke required that the people stone them to death. We don't do that today. That law is done away. It is done away. It was a temporary thing in the beginning. I want to turn to Romans 6. In Romans 6, verses 8 through 15. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. And we begin talking about eternal life here. For in that he died unto sin once. Not that he sinned, but he died to pay for our sins. But in that he liveth, he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. In other words, we should have left off sin. We're dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our promise, you know. Because of his sacrifice, we have the opportunity to live forever. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So, we're commanded that we should not sin, transgressing the law, break the Ten Commandments. We're told very clearly that we should keep those Ten Commandments. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. No, we should be dead to our sins. The sins should be a time of the past, and we should be living righteously. That means keeping the Ten Commandments. The old covenant was based on the Ten Commandments. The new covenant is also based on the Ten Commandments. But that other law only applied during the first covenant. For, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. No. What does that mean, under the law? That's where people will tell you, see, you don't have to keep the commandments. It says right here, we're not under the law. I'll get into that just a second here. We're under grace. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now, I want to go to Galatians chapter 3. And I'll read verses 20 through 25. Galatians 3, verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The people under the old covenant that did all the sacrifices and the washings and that, they were not made righteous by that. They did not qualify to be in God's kingdom because of that. Verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, every last one of us have sinned, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. We have to believe God. We have to keep the commandments. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Again, we were under the law. We had that penalty of eternal death hanging over our head because we were sinners. That's how we were under the law. We were under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. That came with Jesus Christ. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. That law was the teacher. You know, all the sacrifices that were made, the offerings, you know, where they kill the various animals, the sin offering, the burnt offering, and all of that, where they kill the animals and the blood was sprinkled around the tabernacle and that. That was to remind them of what was to come. That was to remind them of the blood that Jesus Christ shed to pay for our sins and bring us to the promise of the way to eternal life. But it was his schoolmaster. Verse 25, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. So that law ended when Christ returned. The law was done away. Technically speaking, when people tell you the law is done away, technically they are correct. The laws, statutes, and judgments were done away. But not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were under both covenants. That didn't change. Now, in Hebrews 7, well, I'll read one verse there, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. So again, those people under the old covenant did not qualify to be in God's kingdom because they went through the various sacrifices. In Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, I want to read through verse 10, starting with verse 1. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Those sacrifices, those statutes and judgments didn't make anyone perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. It was a reminder. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. That didn't take away sin. It was a schoolmaster. It was to teach them, a teacher to tell the people, Jesus Christ is coming, and his blood that is shed will pay for our sins. Not the blood of those goats and bulls and sheep. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body has you prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you would not. In other words, that didn't really please you. It was the teacher. Neither has pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Not the commandments, the law of the statutes and judgments. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And the second covenant did not contain the statutes and judgments. You know, that civil law is administered by the civil authorities. That actually went into effect when the Israelites rejected God's way and they demanded a king like the other nations around them, about them. They didn't want God's government. They wanted the civil authorities to be under a king over them, and they wouldn't have to deal directly with God. By the which will we are sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So, it's not the Ten Commandment law that was done away. It was the law of statutes and judgments. I want to go to Ephesians 2, because there are a couple of verses here that Protestants or Catholics may turn to prove that the law is done away. Ephesians 2, 15 and 16. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. Oh, there it is. The law of commandments. An enemy. Well, we need to read on and not stop right there. The law of commandments contained in ordinances. That is not talking about the Ten Commandments. It's commandments contained in ordinances. If you go back to the original year, the word means a decree or a dogma. And I know you've read in the Old Testament where the kings of Babylon would send out a decree, which was a dogma, and it had the effect of absolute law, you know, because the king, he was in charge of what he said was the law. But it's a dogma or a decree. For to make in himself of two one man, soul making peace, you know, we have good and evil within us, and what Christ did in effect is doing in us is taking the evil away, and we end up being one. You know, we end up being all righteous instead of partly good and partly evil. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, this enmity contained in ordinances was a decree, a judgment, if you will. It's like in our civil law, if we committed some kind of horrible crime and we went to trial, we were sentenced to death, we have the judgment hanging over us. We have this decree hanging over us because we have sinned and we have to die to pay the penalty for that sin. Now, let's say in our country, the President of the United States pardons us. He takes away that decree that commands that we be put to death. Therefore, we can live. That is what Jesus Christ did when he took away that enmity, that law that was hanging over us that says because we're sinners, we have to be dead eternally. And Jesus Christ came along and he pardoned us. He paid the penalty for us. So therefore, we don't have to be dead eternally. We have opportunity to learn to live God's way and live in God's kingdom forever. We can live eternally instead of being dead eternally. Colossians 2 is another one of those little passages that they might turn to say, oh yeah, that proves that the law is done away once and for all. You don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Colossians 2, I'll read verses 14, 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. There we go again. Those ordinances that were against us. We have the judgment hanging over us that if we don't repent of our sins, we will be dead eternally, completely. That is the handwriting of the ordinance that's over us. That's what makes us under the law. Law says we have to die and be dead eternally, except for the fact that Jesus Christ came along and pardoned us, if you will. He removed that ordinance. It no longer applies. We don't have to be dead eternally. We can live. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's what he nailed to the cross. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was the decree that said we have to be dead forever. And having, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Galatians 5. It's another verse that they may turn to say that here's all we have to do. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you may have heard that. I know I have. That's what the Bible says. That's all you have to do. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you have fulfilled the law. Well, first of all, you and I can't love our neighbor as ourselves unless we keep, you know, the first four of the Ten Commandments, unless we put God first. We absolutely have to put God first, because without God's Spirit, man never has and never would love his neighbor as himself. We've seen that from the days of Adam and Eve. Verse 18. Let's drop down to verse 18. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. No, we're not under the law. That penalty is not hanging over our head anymore. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He goes on here to mention several things that are contained in the Ten Commandments. And he says, you know, if you do these things, you can't be in God's kingdom. Here, in the New Testament, you know, this is the New Covenant. And he mentions here, adultery. That's one of the commandments. Idolatry. That's one of the commandments. One of the Ten Commandments. Murder. That's one of the Ten Commandments. You know, if you break those laws, here under the New Covenant, it says you can't be in God's kingdom. Of course, you know, there is the thing of repentance. You can repent of those sins and be forgiven. I want to wind this up by going to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, and I'll start reading in verse 31 and read through 34. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. It doesn't specifically say that, but I assume if God remembers our sins no more, we will not remember each other's sins anymore, not our own or not our neighbor's, but we will be a part of God's family. And every one of us will know God personally, and there will be no more preachers. Does that tell you something? What is a preacher's job? It's kind of like a doctor's job. It's to work yourself out of a job. That's what it is about. Because it won't be needed. When everybody knows God personally and everyone is obeying God personally, who needs a preacher? But that is the second covenant. That's what God has promised us. I hope that has been helpful, and perhaps for most of us it's just a reminder of what we already knew, but it's good from time to time to go back and review those things and have it in our mind, so that if someone comes along and says, you know, those old Ten Commandments are done away, we know better. The law was done away, but it was the law under the old covenant of the statutes and the judgments. The Ten Commandments are in effect today.